But standing by the cross of Jesus were his mother and his mother's sister. We also know that she had a relative that was named Elizabeth, the mother of John the Baptist. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby John the Baptist leaped inside her womb. Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit, and she exclaimed to Mary, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why is this granted to me that the mother of our Lord should come to me? For behold, when the sound of your greeting came to my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be fulfillment of what was spoken to her from the Lord." Well, another relative was Joseph of Arimathea, the rich Jewish businessman who gave his burial tomb for the burial of Jesus Christ after the crucifixion. Many people today in Great Britain still hold to an ancient legend that Joseph of Arimathea and his niece Mary traveled by ship to England and planted the first church in the British Isles. That church is believed to be the ancient ruins in Glastonbury. The Bible does not tell us about Mary's parents. The Bible does say that Jesus is from the house of David. The important things to know, however, are not the names of Mary's relatives and her family lineage. The vital things to know and understand are her attributes and character, the spirituality of Mary at a young age, and the purpose and meaning of the virgin birth of Jesus Christ. What were Mary's attributes? Why should we honor her? Mary was given great honor, but it came with great suffering. Mary was a woman of courage and character. She knew the price she would pay for being pregnant before marriage. Her assignment was socially risky. She was willing to suffer rejection, shame, humiliation, punishment, possibly death by stoning. Mary was a willing servant. She trusted God. She submitted to his will. Mary was a woman of faith. She believed God for the impossible. She was obedient to God. She responded with faith and obedience to the message from Gabriel. Luke chapter 1, verse 38 says, "Then Mary said, 'Behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word.'" Mary loved God. The Bible calls her a handmaiden of the Lord. Now, a handmaiden is a servant. Luke 1, 48 says, "For he has regarded the lowly state of his maidservant. For behold, henceforth all generations will call me blessed." Mary was also spiritually submitted to her betrothed husband, Joseph. She trusted that he was spiritually guided by God. As Joseph received dreams and messages from angels to flee or return home, Mary was deeply involved in her son's life. You see Mary's presence throughout the Gospels. For example, Jesus performed his first miracle on behalf of his mother. It was for Mama that Jesus turned water into wine at the wedding feast. Mary was devoted to her son's life and his ministry. Her ministry was motherhood to the Son of God. Mary comforted Jesus when he entered this world in Bethlehem, and she comforted her son as he left this world at Calvary. Now listen to this. Mary was the only human who was present with Jesus at birth and death. She held her son in the manger, and she beheld her son on the cross. Mary, this wonderful woman named Mary, through it all, Mary was there for Jesus as his mother. She devoted herself to being there for her son. Jesus knew his mother loved him and would always be there for him from birth, childhood, adulthood, ministry, miracles, persecution, arrest, flogging, trial, crucifixion, death, burial, resurrection, and ascension. His mother, his beloved mother, was always there for him. Mary watched her son heal the sick, cast out devils, raise the dead. Even at his worst hour, the bloody, violent crucifixion, Mary did not abandon her son. She watched, she wept, she prayed for her dear son, and she watched him die. Apostle John was at the cross with Mary. He remained there after Jesus took his last breath. In John 19, verses 25 and 27, we read about a conversation Jesus had with his mother as he was hanging on the cross. It says, "But standing by the cross of Jesus were his mother and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to his mother, "Woman, here is your son." Then he said to the disciple, meaning John, "Here is your mother." From that time, this disciple took her to his own home. My friend, Jesus loved his mother. He loved John like a brother. And while hanging on the cross, Jesus was thinking about the welfare of his mother. He made sure his mother was cared for after his death. The Bible says John took Mary to his home. And I think we can assume that John made provisions for Mary the rest of her life, seeing that Jesus asked John to take care of his mother. We can assume that John assisted Mary with all the necessary funeral matters after Jesus died. He certainly didn't abandon Mary as she wept at the cross. He didn't expect a grieving mother to take her own son's body down off the cross and transport the body to the place where it would be prepared for burial in the tomb of Joseph of Arimathea. Would you like to hear something amazing, some amazing spiritual revelations about Mary? Now, this is exciting. This is exciting stuff to know about Mary. Mary is an antitype of Eve. What's an antitype? An antitype is something or somebody that is foreshadowed by a type or symbol. Often, we see New Testament events or people who were prefigured in the Old Testament. So why do I say that Mary is an antitype of Eve? Well, here's why. Eve is our natural mother. All humans trace their ancestry to Eve. Without Eve, we would not exist physically today. We would have never been born. But Mary is our spiritual mother. Now listen to me. All Christians trace their faith ancestry to Mary. Without Mary, we would not exist today as Christians. We could not be born again if the Savior had not been born physically to a virgin. Therefore, as Eve is the natural mother of all humans, Mary is the spiritual mother of all born-again Christians. Romans 8:29 says, "For whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren." You and I were adopted into God's family. Ephesians 1:5 says, "Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will." When God saved your soul, he adopted you into his family. You are his legal son or daughter, and adopted children have full legal rights just as naturally born children. Now, my wife Susan and I, we have 8 adopted grandchildren from our daughter and son-in-law, and they are equal to our 2 other grandchildren born to our son's wife. All of them have the same rights and the same standing. All of them are entitled to an inheritance through Susan and me. The Bible says Jesus is our brother. He calls us his brethren. Now, brethren are people who have parents in common with another offspring. In Luke 8, Jesus was told that his human mother, Mary, and his human brothers were looking for him. And in verse 21, Jesus said, "My mother and my brethren are these which hear the word of God and do it." Therefore, my friend, if you hear the word of God and you obey it, you are counted among Jesus' brethren. You share with him a common mother and father. In John 10, verse 17, Jesus said to her, "Touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God." Now, here's another anti-type. Eve was disobedient to God, but Mary was obedient to God. Eve believed the serpent. Mary believed the angel. Eve was defiled. Eve doubted God's word. Eve believed and conceived the serpent's word. And Eve brought forth the curse of physical and spiritual death. Now listen about Mary. Mary was undefiled. Mary believed and conceived God's word. Mary brought forth from her womb the antidote to the snake bite, a way to reverse the curse. Mary conceived and gave birth to the Son of God, who delivers mankind from spiritual death by being born again, and from physical death through the resurrection when Christ returns to earth. Eve was unhappily misled by the serpent, but Mary happily and cheerfully was led by the angel. In disobedience, Eve was made the cause of death for herself, Adam, her children and grandchildren, and the entire human race that came from the first couple. In obedience, Mary became the cause of salvation for fallen humanity. Eve's knot of disobedience was loosed by Mary's obedience. Eve bound humanity by unbelief and disobedience. Mary loosed mankind by her belief and obedience. Through Eve, the human race was consigned to Hades. Through Mary, the human race was rescued from Hades by the Son of God, whom she gave birth. As Eve's sin brought about mankind's death and bondage, Mary's obedience brought about mankind's life and freedom from sin through the birth of the Messiah. Now, this next antitype is exciting to comprehend. Mary's womb was the Ark of the New Covenant. My friend, this was commonly believed and taught in the early church. This is not something I made up. The early church fathers taught that very principle. There are amazing parallels in the Old Covenant and the New Covenant. In 2 Samuel chapter 6, verse 2, the Bible tells the story of David bringing the Ark of the Covenant back to Jerusalem. It says, the Bible says, "And David and all the people who were with him arose and went from Baalah of Judah to bring up the Ark of God, so named for the name of the Lord of hosts, who sits enthroned among the cherubim that are upon it." Now let's compare 2 Samuel 6:2 in the Old Testament to Luke 1, verses 39 and 40 in the New Testament. The Bible says, "In those days, Mary arose and quickly went into the hill country to a city of Judah, and entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth." Now here's the spiritual parallel. In the Old Testament, David arose and he went with all the people who were with him from Judah. But in the New Testament, Mary arose and went to a city of Judah. Here's another example. 2 Samuel 6:12 says, "When it was reported to King David, the Lord has blessed Obed-Edom and everything that belongs to him for the sake of the Ark of God, David went and brought up the Ark of God from the house of Obed-Edom to the city of David with rejoicing." Now, compare 2 Samuel 6, verse 12, to Luke chapter 1, verses 41 and 42. When Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. She spoke out with a loud voice, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb." Here's the parallel. David was told, "The Lord bless the house of Obed-Edom and all that belongs to him, because the Ark of the Covenant, the Ark of God, was there." Elizabeth told Mary, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb." I'm going to give you two more examples that show that Mary's womb was the Ark of the New Covenant. 2 Samuel 6, verses 14 and 15 says, "David danced before the Lord with all his might, and he wore a linen ephod. So David and the whole house of Israel escorted the Ark of the Lord with shouting and the sound of the horn." Now, let's compare that with Luke 1, verses 47 through 55. This scripture says, "And my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has regarded the low estate of his servant. Surely from now on all generations will call me blessed, for he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. His mercy is on those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the imagination of his heart. He has pulled down the mighty from their thrones and exalted those of low degree. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his descendants forever." Now, here's the parallel. David danced and shouted before the Lord as the ark was escorted. Elizabeth rejoiced and sang to God when she heard Mary's salutation. Elizabeth's child, the future John the Baptist, leaped inside her womb at the sound of Mary's voice. I'll give you one more parallel. 2 Samuel 6:11 says, "The ark of the Lord remained at the house of Obed-Edom for 3 months, and the Lord blessed Obed-Edom and his entire household." Compare 2 Samuel 6:11 to Luke 1:56. "And Mary remained with her about 3 months and returned to her house." Yes, Mary's virgin womb was the ark of the new covenant. God visited earth to end the old covenant and offer mankind peace and reconciliation through faith in his Son, Jesus Christ. Without Mary's obedience to God the Father, God the Son would not have been conceived and born on earth in human flesh. Jesus, God the Son, is eternal, as is God the Father and God the Holy Spirit. Jesus, however, could not come to earth as God the Son without being born as a human. Without Mary's obedience to God, the Christ child would not have been born in Bethlehem. And without Jesus in human flesh, there would not have been a death, burial, and resurrection of God the Son. Without the resurrection, there would be no hope for you and me. We would be destined to spend eternity apart from God in the lake of fire. Because of his incomprehensible love for mankind, Jesus, the only begotten Son of God, the Word of God, he humbled himself. He allowed himself to enter the womb of Mary, a young virgin that he himself formed in Mary's mother's womb and gave her a soul and breath. The invisible God wrapped himself in human flesh inside the womb of a woman he made. Think about it. The pure God, creator of the universe, opened Mary's undefiled virgin womb with the birth of the Christ child so that the dead souls of spiritually lost men and women could be born again, thus made acceptable to God as undefiled. The first Adam failed. God needed another Adam to save mankind. The first Adam sinned, when his wife Eve was beguiled by the serpent, death came to all humans through Eve's sin and disobedience. 1 Corinthians 15:22, "For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive." The cunningness of the serpent in the Garden of Eden was conquered by the gentleness of the dove on the cross at Calvary. 1 Corinthians 15:45, "So it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last Adam was made a life-giving spirit." When Adam and Eve sinned, they surrendered their God-given dominion to Satan. God needed a legal way to re-enter this world and redeem mankind. He had to come to earth as human flesh. That meant finding a holy, godly, undefiled virgin woman who loved him, believed him, and would happily cooperate with his divine plan. And he chose Mary. God the Son was spiritually begotten by God the Father. Jesus was a spiritual body in heaven, but he required a physical body on earth to save you and me. Therefore, God came to earth in human flesh to save mankind by draping himself in human flesh inside the virgin womb of a woman that he formed and gave her a soul and breath and heartbeat. Blows my mind. Awesome. You and I were physically born alive, but we were spiritually dead. We had to be born again. We were born again when we believed on the name of Jesus Christ and were baptized in water. The last Adam, the second man, saved us by making our dead soul come alive. When we came out of that baptism water confessing Christ, he came to serve, yet still possesses his royal sonship. He rested in Mary's arm at the manger in Bethlehem when he was born, but he agonized on the cross for our deliverance from death. He needed food to drink to exist on earth, yet he nourishes us today with his flesh and blood that we may live forever. The invisible Word became the visible Savior. The incomprehensible God became the comprehensible Messiah. The unreachable God became the reachable miracle worker. The untouchable God became the touchable healer. And all this happened because Mary believed the angel and was obedient to God. Mary is the model of motherhood. Her life, however, is a model for us men too. She obeyed God so that God's will on earth would be fulfilled. And all of us can learn from studying the life of Mary. What about you? Have you entered God's family? God the Father desires to be your papa. Jesus desires to be your brother. The Holy Spirit desires to be your closest friend. There's not a better time to be saved than now, right now, today. Make that decision. Salvation is free, but it costs God everything. He had to send his son, Jesus Christ, to earth to become a human just like you and me. Think about it. The Son of God left the splendor of heaven to become a human embryo inside a woman named Mary. He lived a sinless life. He was crucified by the Jews and the Romans for their sins and my sins and your sins. But he descended to the place of the dead. He conquered death and hell. He rose from the dead. His human body ascended to heaven, where he sits now at the right hand of God the Father, praying for you and me. And he's coming again in glory to establish his kingdom on earth, on this new earth, and his kingdom shall have no end. What must you do? You must confess that you're a sinner. You must confess that you violated God's commandment. You must repent of your sins, believe on the name of Jesus as your Savior, and go be baptized in water in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Don't go to sleep tonight without making things right with God. Make today the day you renounce Satan and confess Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Ask God to lead you to a God-fearing, Bible-believing church in your city where the pastor will receive you into the church, baptize you in water in the name of the Trinity. And I say, welcome to the family of God. Well, you know, the song, Mary, Did You Know? Is typically thought of as a Christmas song. But hey, we can sing it anytime, right? It's a beautiful song written by Mark Lowry about this wonderful, God-fearing woman named Mary. So here is our dear friend, Brenda Crouch, singing, Mary, Did You Know?
Mary, did you know that your baby boy would someday walk on water? Mary, did you know that your baby boy would save our sons and daughters? Did you know that your baby boy has come to make you new? This child soon deliver you. Mary, did you know? Mary, did you know that your baby boy would give sight to a blind man? Mary, did you know that your baby boy would calm the storm with his hand? Did you know that your baby boy walked with
Brenda Crouch. Thank you so much, Brenda. Brenda and Paul Crouch Jr., we love you. And I appreciate your ministry and hope you stop by, Paul, and see us sometime soon. Dr. Neil Jackson, pastor of Beulah Baptist Church, Bennett, North Carolina. Welcome back, brother.
It's good to be back. And hey, good word from you about Mary.
Mary's that, awesome, isn't
that
she?
That whole anti-type of Eve. I mean, that was powerful. That was good stuff.
Yeah, I love talking about, I just like talking about Jesus. Yep. I love him. I love him with all my heart. I love him. I can't stop talking about it. Hey, do you like our coffee table?
I do.
You know what this is?
What is it?
We dug this up in an archaeological dig. It's a tooth from a dinosaur. It's a mole. I'm kidding. All right. Kind of looks like a big dinosaur tooth, doesn't it? So, hey, I'm glad to have you here, man.
Seriously, I'm honored to be here. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, you spent 2 days with us. This week's been our maiden week for a two-hour show. It's a lot of work, and I appreciate
and
you being here.
And let me just say, I wish the world could see your staff, because your staff is just a bunch of servants, and they're all just going around, and everybody wants to pray with me and encourage me, and this has been kind of like revival for me for 2 weeks, to hang out with you, to see your passion for Jesus. But all of these guys behind the camera that nobody else gets to see, I mean, they're fired up for Jesus.
They are a wonderful team. I've been blessed. I have been blessed with an awesome team, and I am so grateful. Hey, Mother's Day this Sunday, and early this morning, I was up really, really early this morning. Lord woke me up at 3 a.m. I couldn't go back to sleep, so I just got up and went outside and prayed. Then I started working on today's program, and I thought, well, you know, we're going to talk about Mother's Day. I don't know, you know, what is the history of Mother's Day? And I had never known it. Do you know Mother's Day was started by a devout Christian?
Really?
Name was Ann Jarvis. She started it for her mother. Her mother was a devout Christian. They were Methodists. The Methodist Episcopal Church in West Virginia. I want to say Grafton, West Virginia. And she took care of her mother. Her mother took care of Civil War, wounded Civil War of both Confederate and Union. Wow. She was like a nurse. She took care of them, all right, in the Civil War. And but anyhow, her daughter took care of her mother in her last years, you know, and she died in 1905.
Wow.
And 3 years later, she held a memorial service at the Methodist Church in Grafton, West Virginia, to honor her mother.
Wow.
And that was the first Mother's Day.
Really?
It was like May 10th.
1908.
And so Mother's Day came out of that. And then Ann Jarvis went on a campaign to convince churches to have a day in the spring of the year to honor the mothers of the church. Pastor, I never knew this.
That's great.
Mother's Day was inspired by a godly Christian woman.
Proverbs 31, her children will arise and call her blessed. And that's what she did. She rose up and said, let's honor our mothers.
Yeah.
And thank God she did that.
That's right. So here's another example of how the church has brought salt and goodness to society. Now, you have some lessons in the Bible of great mothers.
Yeah. So just thinking about what are some of the great mothers of Scripture? And there's so many, but I thought of Exodus chapter 2 with Jochebed. Now, you think about it, it was a dark day. I mean, it was a wicked day. They were throwing all of their babies into the Nile, those male children. Mm-hmm. And when she heard those words, it's a boy. Well, her heart had to leap for joy, and yet her heart had to sink. Oh, no, they're going to try to kill my son.
Why were they going to try to kill her son?
They were annihilating all the boys trying to kill that Messiah. They were going to destroy him. And yet, she made an ark of safety. And you just mentioned it. An ark in the Scripture is always a place of safety. And she says, my son is being born into a hostile, mean environment, but I'm going to do everything in my power to protect my son. And that's what a mother does.
Amen.
That's the job of the mother, is when she brings children into the world, to do everything she can to see that that child is safe. And now think about it. She places Moses in that Nile River with all of those crocodiles and everything else. But she just didn't place him in the river. She placed him in that ark. And don't you know, she prayed and prayed and prayed. And she had Miriam watching over that baby. She did everything that she could to protect her child the way any mother should do that.
That's right.
Yeah.
Had you ever thought about Mary? That Mary is the only person who is with Jesus at birth and death?
Yeah, that's a good thought.
Wow. She held him in his arms in Bethlehem. She beheld him on the cross. Yeah. She stayed with her son, Mary, the mother.
Yeah. Yeah.
Who else in the Bible?
I think of Hannah with young Samuel. You know, it says in 1 Samuel chapter 3 that the word was rare. I mean, the one version says it was precious. So they were not proclaiming the word of the Lord. And if you think of 1 Samuel chapter 2, it says that wrong was not rebuked in the church for Eli's children were being adulterous and immoral, mm-hmm. and Eli would not rebuke his children. So she was bringing a son into that environment. And yet his very existence is attributed to a praying mom. And that's what all of our mothers should be, is praying for the safety and the spirituality of our children. And that's what Hannah did. Now, she had persecution. Oh, Peniah was mocking her. She was ridiculing her. Even the preacher of that day, Eli, are you drunk? He didn't know a spirit-filled woman. He didn't know a woman who could get a hold of God. No one understood her but the one that needed to understand her, and that was God. He heard her prayer. He answered her prayer, and she said, God, you have given me this man-child, and I will raise him as you have told me to raise him, and I will give this boy back to you. What she understood, she only had him for a brief time. Which that's what all mothers do. Those children, I mean, I always heard it when our kids were born, they're going to grow up quick. They do. They grow up just like that.
How many children do you have?
Five.
Do you really?
Five. 21, 19, 17, and then we had just adopted twins a year ago, 8. And it's just hard to believe that. I mean, I get teary-eyed thinking about when our first son was born. And just now, he's in college preparing to be a worship leader in the church, and he's got a year left and almost gone. You have a short time. You got to pray for those kids. You got to instruct those kids. You got to train those kids. It says of Samuel, in Samuel chapter 3, that his words fell not to the ground.
Hmm.
When I ask people to pray for me, Pray those words for me, that my words would be so anointed by God that they wouldn't just be useless and fall to the ground, but they would be powerful, they would be convicting. And you say, well, why was Samuel's words so powerful and convicting? I think one of the reasons, he had a praying mama.
How many people watching us right now, either their mother or their grandmother, was praying for them and prayed them into the kingdom of God?
Yeah.
In my case, it was my grandmother.
Really?
I couldn't get away from my grandmother's prayers. All right, she prayed me into the kingdom. But it typically turns out there's a mother, a grandmother, an aunt, somebody, some woman, some godly woman in a family praying for a lost child.
Yeah. Yeah. That's amazing. I think of Matthew 15. There is a woman that comes to Jesus because her daughter is demon possessed. And she comes and says, Jesus, you must heal my daughter. Now it's amazing. Matthew 15, Jesus doesn't respond. He's silent. Mm-hmm. And there's probably some mother watching, and you got a child that's overtaken by Satan. And you're coming to the throne room, and the throne room just seems silent. You know what this mother did? She persisted. She kept coming in. Jesus says, no. And you read that story, Jesus says, yeah, the crumbs, but just to the fall. And she humbles herself and she stays persistent, seeking Jesus. You have to help my child, or my child is hopeless. Her persistence and her prayer to Jesus. Jesus responded, Matthew 15, I have not seen such great faith. Great is your faith, and go your way. Your son is, your child is healed because of a persistent praying mother. And I don't know who is out there, but I'm sure there is someone that your child is just overtaken by sin. And what will set your child free is Jesus.